This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
The biggest football game in the history of Western civilization. What a ride it's been.
Oh, yes, sir. It's time, baby.
Woo. Sean has not texted back his power rankings. I don't think he's participating.
He just texted. Oh no, that was our side. That was a side group that we're on. Bobby, Mr. Texting Sean on the side all day. Now this is it's a political text chain that we're on.
Good. Glad to hear you got some bipartisan.
What did Derek Holland say?
It's not with Derek. It's a solo. All right, so. Power rankings time. Let's see how we did last week, shall we?
Let's do it.
Robert, you had Detroit.
Win.
You had Baltimore.
Win.
Then you had Buffalo.
Did I? It was Buffalo 3? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Win.
Green Bay.
Win.
Is that a half?
Detroit beat Green Bay.
That's
Peyton.
A half.
Okay, so that's not a buzzer.
All right, it's a half. And then you had Washington.
Perfect.
4-0-1. Peyton, you had Detroit.
Nope.
Kansas City.
Nope.
Buffalo.
Nope.
Baltimore.
Oh.
And Green Bay.
Oh, buzz yourself, Peyton.
Nope.
Yeah, that's a buzzer.
Don't buzz it. You said don't buzz it. I'm not buzzing it.
I had Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo, Green Bay, and Baltimore.
4-0-1.
Sean, for the sake of argument, had Detroit, Kansas City, Green Bay, Baltimore, and Minnesota.
So he had Green Bay ranked the highest of any of us. So I think that should count as a loss.
That's a loss.
Yeah.
But none of our top five actually did lose to a lower ranked team.
Boy.
It was just Green Bay.
Landslides all over the place the last week.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so 5-1 or 1-5?
1-5 is probably the drama, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
All right, 1-5 is good.
All right, let's go 1-5. I'll start it off. Shocker, I have Kansas City at number one.
No.
Yeah, I do. That was their best game of the year. And some rough weather. Rough a little bit. And Mahomes just changes how teams play. Nobody is going to kick the point after when they have a chance to tie Kansas City again this year under a minute to go.
Dude, there was some stat that I saw yesterday that I was like, oh, that's an RJ Choppy stat. And I can't find it. I think it was there were three opportunities in the last week to go for two, and they kicked the extra point, and all three times the team that kicked the extra point lost.
I mean, you got a chance to win the game. Put faith in your two-point conversion. Put faith in your team to do it. And they didn't. And I think this is going to change how teams play when they play them. If you play Kansas City and you tie the game or you're now down one with under a minute to go, I think you're absolutely going to go for two. Now, that does create aggressiveness on Mahomes, and you give him four downs, not three. But still, I will absolutely do that. So, give me Kansas City at one.
You're wrong. and that's okay. The number one team in the NFL, and it's not even close, is the Detroit Lions. Chop, the Detroit Lions are a 110, plus 110 point differential. Very impressive.
Yeah.
More impressive, they are a plus 17 touchdown differential. The next closest is Buffalo at 12. By the way, your Kansas City Chiefs, 7. Even with an 8-0 record, plus 7 on the touchdown. So, averaging less than a touchdown more per game than their opponents.
Yep.
Just one little note there.
Listen, I'm not going to argue. Detroit, nobody is playing as good as Detroit right now.
Detroit is going to be, I mean, Detroit right now is a juggernaut. That's the, like I said last week, that's the one team that I have zero question about. If not for that one Tampa game, we'd be talking about, is this a potential 17-0 team?
Absolutely. Like, their schedule is not super easy, right? Because they play a first-place schedule anyway. But, I mean, find me a string of losses the way they're playing.
Yeah. I mean, they do have some tough games on the back end of their schedule, but they're going to be favored in all of them.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like they're a tremendous team. They are playing like a team that is like ticked off. Like they're still upset about last year.
Yeah, like they're still upset about the 2-point conversion call getting messed up. Not even about the NFC Championship game. Just mad about the refs.
They're just carrying so much of a chip. They remind me a lot of like the 07 Patriots and that. Like they're just.
Yeah.
They're on a revenge tour.
So I got the number one ranked Detroit Lions.
I'm not going to argue with you at all. Peyton?
I left the Lions at number one. I mean, look, another incredible win on the road against Green Bay. I mean, in the rain, they put up great numbers. And look, this team hasn't skipped a beat since they lost Aiden Hutchinson.
No.
They
got Zadarius Smith.
Yeah, that defense is really, really dominant. And I mean, I think they just continue the stretch. I mean, if I had to pick a team to make it out of the NFC, to make it to the Super Bowl, it'd be Detroit right now. By far. I don't know. I don't know what team challenges them. Maybe if San Fran gets hot in the playoffs, you know, but they'd have to play in Detroit.
Yes, I think San Fran could get hot and beat them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, any of those teams can beat them, but they're going to be a big time underdog. Number two, I have Detroit for me. That's an easy one. Detroit or the field in the NFC?
Detroit.
It takes a lot to say that, too, in the NFL.
If I felt like San Francisco was more like San Francisco, I would take the field. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Look, how much does, and this may factor into power rankings here, is like how much does Lattimore change things for Washington? How much does Philly getting on a roll change things? Like, I mean, those are things to consider.
They are. Your hope with the Lions is that they're not peaking too soon.
Yeah. That would be that, but I mean, I don't think they are. I think they look like they're getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, they really do. Bobby?
Number two, it is the Baltimore Ravens. I have zero reason to move this team. Last week would have been the time to move them after they lost to the Browns. You go face Denver and you absolutely beat them down and expose Sean Payton for the fraud that his team is. Playing a good team, they completely crumble. But Baltimore Ravens, that to me is arguably the most efficient offense in the NFL. It's right up there with Washington. I'm going Baltimore Ravens number two.
Hey,
I have the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, I mean, Monday night against Tampa Bay, Bobby's right on this. I mean, it looked bad. You know, they were a 2-point conversion away from losing that game. I really think the Bucs should have done that. And they probably, you know, Baker might have converted that. But yeah, Kansas City Chiefs here. And look, you know, they've gotten D-Hop to where he needs to be. You know, that's a dangerous receiving core right there. Travis Kelce has been playing out of his mind of late. And all they do is win. And I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs schedule. They play Buffalo in a couple weeks on the road. They don't have another loss after that. They really don't. I mean, this is a minimum 16-1 team.
Woo. Whoa.
Minimum.
Six. Okay. All right. I mean, I'm not going to disagree.
What are they at right now?
8-0.
8-0?
Yeah.
They're halfway there.
I mean, I don't think. We'll see.
Not a hot take?
No? It's not. Next up for me, number three. I've got the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
They are 7-2, second most wins in the league. They had a game that was closer than it should have been with Miami, but I don't know. Even though it got close, and I think it was actually got tied, I never felt like it was like incredibly in danger of losing. Amari Cooper does give them an added dimension of a true top guy, even though he's not like a number one. It gives them that added dimension. So I have Buffalo at three.
I have a change. I had the Buffalo Bills last week. I'm dropping them. And I'm moving up the Washington Commanders to number three. The Lattimore trade is what changes this for me a little bit. The Lattimore trade, and then here's the other angle, and I'll we can talk more about Buffalo here in a sec. Here's the issue with Buffalo. Here's the records of the teams that Buffalo's beaten, Chop. Mm-hmm. 5-4, 2-6, 2-7, 3-6, 2-7, 4-5, 2-6.
Fair.
Those are the teams they've beaten.
Fair.
The teams they've lost to are 6-3 and 6-3.
Fair.
So there is a question here that was way too close for comfort against Miami. And so I had to drop them down with the Lattimore trade and just how great that offense has been for Washington. I'm starting to believe big time in the Washington Commanders there at number three.
The Bills have stayed at number three for me. A little bit of a scare against Miami. I understand. I get it. But Josh Allen, you know, still, you know, like I said last week, dark horse to win MVP, in my opinion. Even though, yeah, he is the favorite, I believe, still this week. But yeah, Buffalo, three for me. And look, they have a chance to improve that ranking when they host the Chiefs here in a couple weeks.
All right. So Peyton's got Detroit, Kansas City, Buffalo. I have Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo. Bobby has Detroit, Baltimore, Washington on the top three. At number four, I have Baltimore. Now, I know that Baltimore beat
it's a little low
Buffalo, but they do have three losses, too. That's kind of playing it. They've got a late bye, too. It's not the first week of December. And after that, this team should not lose more than one game the rest of the way. They'll absolutely be a top three seed in the AFC, unless Pittsburgh somehow doesn't just lose and stays and hangs on to the AFC North. But Buffalo's great. I'm sorry, Baltimore's great. Their ability to run the ball with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, given that added dimension, is just impossible to beat right now. I still don't view them as a legitimate threat in the conference. I don't think they can beat Kansas City. I do think Buffalo can beat Kansas City.
Ooh, I think, obviously, I'm not as high on Kansas City, but I do think it's possible for a couple different teams to beat them. Number four team is the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, by the way, I didn't realize this. Did you know he threw his first two interceptions of the season the last 2 weeks?
He hadn't had an interception yet?
No, he's at 17 touchdowns to 2 picks now. He threw one against Seattle and one against Miami.
You're lying.
Yeah, which seems almost unbelievable to think about, especially after he threw 18 last year. But Buffalo is a good football team, but there are questions about their level of competition. The Miami game was just a little off-putting because Miami has not looked good at all this year. And so for them to struggle like that gave me a little bit of pause, especially since the good teams they've played, they've had trouble with. So drop them down a little bit, but I am still optimistic that they can be good in the future. I just have some questions. So Buffalo number four.
Peyton?
I have Baltimore number four. I believe that's where I had them last week, so I would keep them there. I mean, look, three losses. They're still a really good team. But Lamar Jackson, Bobby, he's more of a running back now. He's starting to throw the ball. 280 yards passing last week against Denver. And he only completed 16 of 19 passes. Doesn't have to throw that much, and he's still completing over almost 300 yards. So I have Baltimore. And it's frustrating, really, because Pittsburgh's always they're going to be at the top of that division throughout the remainder of the year. They're just going to – and it doesn't seem like Pittsburgh is all that good. Like, they're 7-2, but they're just going to be right there with Baltimore until Baltimore has to beat them twice. But I have Baltimore 4.
Yeah, by the way, that's the third time this season that Lamar's thrown fewer than 20 passes. So he is a running back. Brian Anger's going to finish with as many pass attempts as him.
How has his deep ball progressed in his career?
Deep ball's not all been the issue for him all the time. It's more frequently the stuff in the middle of the field in the intermediate areas. So the area where like Cousins really excels, where San Francisco tries to put the ball, he can't.
Has he gotten a lot better at it, or
no.
Still
nope.
Is he just are they avoid? If you were to look at his spray chart, is it like a?
It doesn't look. It's not like he's out there looking like Anthony Richardson. It's just below the top tier quarterbacks. It's not in the same range.
Okay. All right. Number five for me. I finally did it.
The Dallas Cowboys?
The Dallas Cowboys.
The Washington Commanders.
There we go.
I truthfully cannot figure them out.
Is this a Lattimore thing at all for you?
No. When did they get him yet? Was it
yesterday?
Was 2 days ago, right? Or was it yesterday?
Yesterday. Mm-hmm.
No, I truthfully can't figure this team out because as the Vegas guy in me, like, We're slower to upgrade and downgrade teams necessarily. Like on a neutral field, if I was handicapping it like against the Cowboys, I think that might have them as like a 1 point favorite on a neutral field
against this.
Not with Dak, okay. Against the Dak led Cowboys. And with Micah, with Tank, you know, a healthy Cowboy team. But they do have the third best point differential in the entire league. I gotta give it to them for that. I think Buffalo's two, and then Detroit obviously is number one. They're second ranked in offensive DVOA. That's a great indicator of future success. They're 26th in defensive. So that's not a great sign for their playoff hopes. But the fact that their offense is just off the charts, I have to have them at number five.
And remember, Dan Quinn defense here in Dallas, the first year, they were leaky the first 10 to 12 weeks of the season, and then it started to click at the end of the year. I think Washington, you're going to start to see some of that click into place. Number five, not the Kansas City Chiefs.
He loves an 8-0 team.
I hate this guy.
Out of his top five.
They're going to go 16-1.
You know what? I was right about Philly. I was right about Pittsburgh.
Everyone was right about Pittsburgh.
Were you right about Philly, Peyton? Where did you have them? Didn't you say, I believe, last year into December, Jalen Hurts is the MVP of the league?
At the time, he was.
So shut your damn mouth, Peyton.
At the time, he was.
W.I. Peyton back there. And with all that said, I have the Philadelphia Eagles at number five.
Oh, my gosh.
Kellen Moore, baby. He's going to come up here. He's going to drop all sorts of, you know, deep balls to Jordan Mailata to just mock the Cowboys. This is going to get ugly. This will be Kellen wants to light up the scoreboard. Dear God, you haven't seen Kellen wants to light up the scoreboard till this weekend, Mike. So I have the Philadelphia Eagles at number five.
Peyton?
Well, I am W.I. Peyton because I have the Philadelphia Eagles at number five. And look, I've left Washington out. If we could have six teams in our power rankings, I'd put Washington at six. It was back and forth, 5 and 6 with Washington and Philly. But when Philly's healthy, they're a really good team. One of the best in the NFC.
One of the best.
It's Saquon Barkley. I mean, we have to admit, Howie Roseman's a genius for doing this. You know, everyone was trashing him early on for the pick. Oh, Saquon's washed. He's not this, not that. Saquon's been the best acquisition of the offseason for the NFL.
More than Derrick Henry?
Okay.
You know what's going to happen to Philadelphia, though. You know this is going to happen. Like, in a year, when he's not having a great year because he's a running back, he gets hurt or whatever, they're going to say this was a terrible signing. That's just the way Philadelphia sports fans are.
Although they all love Howie. So what was your 1 through 5?
Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo, Baltimore, Washington.
I got Detroit, Baltimore, Washington, Buffalo, Philly.
Detroit, Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Philly.
All right. Bobby has a problem with the NBA. Let's talk about how we spent our night. Because it was late. It was very late. I am super stunned at some of the developments from yesterday, and part of that is the College Football Playoff Committee selection that also was part of the night. It's all coming up next year at 105.3. The fans.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Below the Belt coming up at 8:40. It is Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton Russell, Caitlin alongside as this is a post-election day edition of Sean and RJ. Sean's out today. A little sick, a little under the weather. He hit us up. It wasn't late last night. It was like noon.
No. He hit us up when things were still trending a certain direction. So, you know, you guys don't have to worry about anything like that.
So a lot of talk is that
I would actually say I think Sean misses days like these.
I don't think
Sean wants to be out for days like these.
I agree. You know, there's always talk that Election Day should be a national holiday. I think the day after Election Day should be a national holiday. I think everyone today, everyone that I'm talking to, I've talked to people who were happy with the results and very unhappy. They're dragging today.
They all want the day off. They want to either celebrate or they want to mourn.
I was up till 2 a.m.
Yeah. What time did you wake up?
4:45.
Man, you didn't even get two full REM sleep cycles. I mean,
no.
You got disrupted
Dude,
in the second one.
I drove into work today, and I'm not joking about this, and I probably shouldn't say this because it's dangerous, but I was so tired. I was alternating. I put my hand over one eye to let that eye sleep.
Ooh.
While I'm driving through the other one, and then I switch, and I go, oh, okay, let's do this one.
You know what I'll do in those instances when I'm that sleepy? As I'm driving, I will start biting the inside of my cheek or my lip or just like something to like wake me up.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're really supposed to do. Cold water is an amazing thing for that. Cold water is an amazing tool. Like if you're starting to fall asleep at the wheel, pull over, grab a cold towel or something, just put on your face. That will give you a rush of blood and energy. And that's tremendous. And I never think to do it. I should have done it this morning. I was so tired because, you know, you can't go to bed. This is a Super Bowl event, right? Everyone's up to watching it. I didn't know anybody that was asleep.
You know, you can get some alertness too. While if you like induce a little bit of controlled hyperventilation, so if you do one of these like and just do that a few times, like you start getting a little bit of you start getting an overdose of oxygen. Basically, it'll make you alert. You know, Andrew Huberman. You know who he is? We've talked about him before. He's that neuroscientist, the podcaster. He says that one of the things to do if you're losing your alertness or whatever else, he says double inhale and then exhale. So,
have you ever tried the Navy SEAL sleep technique where you can fall asleep in like 2 minutes?
I've heard it. Which one is the one where you elevate your legs, or is it the breathing technique?
It's the breathing technique. You breathe in for like 4 seconds,
it's 4-7-8.
4-7-8. I've tried it before. Like it works, man. It's crazy how
it does relax you because it is like it's a parasympathetic nervous system.
I just can't hold my breath for 7 seconds. That's my biggest issue. Peyton, how did you, what time did you go to bed? When did you turn this thing off?
I probably turned it off around 10, took a shower, and then, I was in bed by 10:30, out before 11.
So you didn't know who won, or did you know who won?
I mean, I had a feeling. I think we all had a feeling. I was looking at all the betting markets and stuff. I mean, Trump, golly, 9 o'clock, 9:30 was -300. I was like, okay, usually Vegas isn't wrong when it comes to this stuff. So that's when I knew. And then I woke up and saw the news.
Do you remember what's like had they called Carolina by then or Georgia?
Oh, they didn't call Carolina by 10.
That was after midnight, right?
That was after 11. North Carolina was the first one that went, and then Georgia was called. So North Carolina was called like 10:30, I think, and then Georgia was called at 11:30.
California was in the 9 o'clock hour, I think.
Oh, California's called before there's even a vote.
Well, yeah.
That's crazy. They do it every year, and like I was thought like Florida was called as soon as the polls closed. And I said this earlier, like, again, if you were alive and voting in 2000, when that thing took a month, to have Florida, A, have their you-know-what together to be able to call an election early, and B, like, you know, like, they're there's no more hanging chads. Like, it's all done electronically or whatever. And also, for it to not be a battleground.
Oh, yeah. No,
Florida,
I mean,
to be that much of a not battleground is stunning after, again, if you lived through, you know, 20 of the last 30 years.
Demographic shift. Yeah. I mean, Michigan, like, Pennsylvania wasn't much of a battleground in recent years. Wisconsin wasn't a battleground.
Right.
Like, those are the battlegrounds now. Ohio's not one anymore. Ohio's pretty solidly to one side. Florida's the same way.
We kind of are now too. I mean, like Texas, there was a lot of people that were thinking like Texas was going to be up for grabs late. And I mean, I didn't see the final tally.
It was last I saw it was 57-42. It was pretty
That's
wide.
A lot. That's a lot. But
I think Cruz won by more than people thought.
Yeah, I think he did. I thought that was going to be closer, I think, than it actually
turned out. I think the final polls said it was like a 2-point spread or something.
Yeah.
And that one ended up being 53-44.
Yeah, we get fooled by polls a lot. That's just the way it is. And everybody does. There's nobody knows how to actually poll these things anymore. When did you turn it off?
So when I saw where things were at with Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, when that was at like 90%, I was like, all right, Georgia's been called, North Carolina's been called. One of these is probably going to him, and that's all he needs. He needs one. And so that told me what the result was going to be. And I went, okay, all right, time to go to bed. So I laid down and woke up this morning and glad I didn't wait for it to be called, because if I would have waited for it to be called, I would have stayed up till what, 4:30 in the morning before Wisconsin was called by the AP.
Oh, is that when it was?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wisconsin was called by the AP at like 4:30.
Did like all the people on the networks, like the CNNs and the Fox News, were they up at 4:30 with this thing, or did they shut it down?
Oh, I think they typically stay on. They rotate people out, but they stay on and live and covering everything.
Huh. Because I know like...
But Fox called it early. I think Fox called it like 2.
I think they called it before then.
Well, they called it Pennsylvania. They called Pennsylvania early.
But they had him at like 270-something before he went on and spoke. Because when he spoke, he said he had already won Wisconsin. And like when they flip it off and... like CNN's like, I don't know, he hasn't won Wisconsin yet. Like ABC was like, he hasn't won Wisconsin yet. But he had already talked about in the past tense, like, I've already won Wisconsin.
It was a little weird. Chris Wallace was on, he's on CNN now, and he's like referencing back controversial things. Like, well, when I was over at Fox and we called, 2016, we called Pennsylvania early and everybody thought that was too strong and it ended up being right. But I'm like, it's a little weird. You're on CNN now and you're like, you're spiking what you did with Fox 8 years ago.
I did notice that. That was
like, I felt like Dana Bash was like, shut the hell up. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about these women voters, right? How'd that break? Like it felt like she was trying to shift away pretty quick.
Let's see. From the 972, I was awake at 12:50, and Fox called it at 12:58. From the 325, it was 1:35 a.m. by Fox, and the rest of the media waited an extra 3 hours. You had a problem with the NBA.
Look, maybe this is too much for me, Chop, but you'll notice we're not coming back with any NBA calls this morning.
Well, we are not. No,
we're not. We're not coming back with any highlights.
You can't watch the Mavs.
Why aren't we coming back? I can. Why aren't we coming back with any? We should be coming back with. We come back Cowboys games. Why aren't we coming back with like Jake Tapper making a state call or something like that? Like, oh, we can now project. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, we can project this. Like, we should have been coming back with that. But no, this is the third time now that on Election Day the NBA is not playing games. Because they started in 2022. And on Election Day, they don't play games. And they say that they take this day off in order to promote nonpartisan civic engagement through various initiatives, including this year's Get in the Game initiative. Election Day is one of the few days on the calendar on which no NBA games will be played, barring any schedule changes. And here's my issue with it, Chop. You're not that important. Play your basketball games. CFP selection show went ahead as planned. NFL said, we're still having our trade deadline. We're not worried about it. The NBA, this just seems like, this seems a little self-important. And an attempt to be like, let's use our critical influence. You know, people want to know who Cade Cunningham, Cunningham thinks it's okay to vote. They're going to vote anyway. Just play basketball. I would have liked something else to watch last night. I would have enjoyed if there was some NBA.
Would you have watched?
Yes.
Hockey was on.
Huh?
Hockey was on. The hockey hamster.
I would have enjoyed watching NBA last night. Like I would have liked it. That would have been good to me. If I would have had if Phoenix was playing last night, it doesn't even have to be a Mavericks game. There's a TNT or an ESPN game on last night. I would have been watching it. I would have been following the election on my laptop or whatever, but I would have watched basketball. That would have given me something to watch. I didn't like that I didn't have anything else to watch last night.
I gotta be honest. I don't have a problem with them doing this. I mean, I get why they do it. I understand why they do it. They want to have, like, the players view this as important to them. Or maybe they don't. But I'm not watching. Like, last night, for example, I am a mega college football fan.
Mm-hmm.
If that selection show was at 8 o'clock versus 6 o'clock, I probably wouldn't have watched a second of it. 6 o'clock, there's only like two states that have closed. It's like Indiana and Kentucky, and we know where they were going to go. There was no drama. If this was at 8 o'clock, I don't know that I would have watched the College Selection show last night.
See, to me, it's...
I certainly wouldn't have gone to the game.
It feels a little bit like look-at-me behavior from Adam Silver. That even by taking off and going, we want to make it all about election day, it feels like phony humility almost. And just like, man, this is about bigger than basketball. This is about bigger than our sport. Play your games. That's not... Now, you mentioned today should be a national holiday. We talk about things taking off. Is it a problem to you that, for instance, where we're at, our kids are in Louisville ISD. Louisville ISD shut down their schools yesterday.
You know, my kids were out of school Monday and Tuesday, but that was like an in-service day.
Tuesday they were out of school because I guess not that there were, the school wasn't a polling location, but there were enough of them in Louisville ISD that were polling locations.
Yeah.
That's fine. They shut that. They just universally shut it down, which I get.
You got to do what you got to do, right?
Kristen's whole argument was like, I guess she said that, you know, she remembers being at school and like people coming in to vote while they're at school.
I did too.
And she was like, it's weird to have just random people walking into a school with all the security measures that need to be taken.
Yeah, I remember that. My high school was a polling location when I was a kid. There's no way in hell, as a parent, I'd have been cool with that yesterday.
Yeah. Especially in this day and age.
Not a chance. Not a chance with what's gone on. There's not a chance I would have been okay with that. I mean, you would have to have absolute armed guards and metal detectors everywhere.
Yeah, especially with intense this one and the last few have been.
So I'm totally cool with them doing that. I think today should be, I think everyone I'm talking to, is dragging today. The traffic doesn't look like it's anything special this morning. It looks
that's also because the blinds are closed.
That's fair. That's fair, but I did take a peek earlier, Bob.
I was looking over there too, like, oh well, yeah, I just see gray pavement out there. Oh no, those are the blinds.
Yeah, those are the blinds. Yeah. So hey, what's coming up in Smartass? Below the belt.
Let's take a look at the hot seat rankings. Not for coaches. Let's see which Cowboys players' jobs are on the line. That's next in Below the belt on the Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
We've talked about coaches on the hot seat, but what about the players?
Players on the hot seat.
Players. Let's get into it. This is Below the Belt. Below. Thank you to A Number One Air for presenting it. Let's look at which players' jobs for 2025 and beyond are on the line here in this final stretch of games. So I've got some names. How hot I think their seat is, and I'm going to ask you for your thoughts here on this chop. And over on the fan text, 877-881-1053, that is the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053. So let's talk about how critical you think these final several games are for their potential future here in Dallas. Got five names for you here, chop. You ready?
All right.
Number one, Rico Dowdle. So Dowdle is
I'm going to need his age.
Dowdle is in the final year of his contract, has been injury prone for a lot of it. Overall, would you say that for all the issues with the running game, have you been like I have fairly impressed with how he's run the ball this season when he's been given opportunities? I think he's been solid.
I've been fine with Rico.
I just think opportunities haven't been there for him consistently. He turned 26 in June, so he will be 27 next year. But not a lot of tread on the tires. He has started 6 games in his career. He's been in the league since 2020. This is his 5th year. He missed all of 21, most of 22, played in 23, but he only has 167 carries.
All right, let me ask you this, because I don't believe that. So I know some people believe, like, you know, if you don't play a year because you got hurt or whatever, or you just didn't play because you didn't get the touches, that you're not really 28, you're really 27 because your body didn't go through that.
You don't believe that? I don't believe it with corner or receiver or anything else.
And I'm asking, I agree. I think I know where you're going here. I think we're going to the same spot. Does it matter with running backs?
Running back, I think that does. Because running back, you're getting worn down. Like, your body's getting abused.
But corner and wide receiver, it's an age
speed. Yeah, when you're 30, you're 30 and you're losing speed.
Yeah.
27 is a really early age for you to just start going through a sharp decline. And that only happens because they take a beating at the position, I think. So that matters there. Now, if it was he's 30, well, I'd say, no, he's about 30. And that's just you're going to start slowing down
right.
a little bit.
Like Adrian Peterson, after the ACL, right? Like it was like, all right, well, he didn't play that. But he did play.
Yeah.
Like, would you have counted that? No, because he was too old at that point.
Yeah. So at this age, though, 26 years old and has carried the ball 167 times, I think. So
what number would what number would he get on the offseason?
Couple million, probably 2 million.
Fine.
So I think that he's somebody who, is he playing for a job?
Yeah, he is.
I think he is, but I think the Cowboys are leaning towards, yeah, we'd love to have him back as part of whatever running back room we have. So Rico Dowdle is that name on that front. Next name for you, Jalen Tolbert. And did the Jonathan Mingo trade yesterday, this kind of got brought up, is that an indictment of Tolbert or is that just you need three receivers?
I think it's three receivers because you do. I think that we were slow. I wasn't because I'm smart. But I think the football public was slow to look at the third wide receiver no differently than you would your right defensive end.
Yeah, the one who's up against the left tackle.
You need, well, I guess that'd be the left defensive end. Then. You need two defensive ends. You need three wide receivers. We were just slow as a football public to realize, oh, it's not just two wide receivers anymore, right? The third wide receiver is a position on the field that is a starter. It's a 60-play-a-game guy. It's just as important as your second defensive end. So, yeah, I think you need three, absolutely.
But is he one of them? Is he good enough to be a starting receiver?
Tolbert?
Yes. Has he shown you anything that says, all right, coming along, it was coming along slowly, but
yeah,
he might be able to do this?
I do, because like, what do we really expect out of our, because he was supposed to be the third.
Here's what he's on pace for this year. And he's had to be the two for about half the season now.
More than that. Right?
And Ferguson is involved in that too. He's on pace this year for 17-game projection, 64 receptions, 750 yards, 6 touchdowns.
I mean, that's better than Brandon Cooks got last year, isn't it?
Yeah. Little bit better. But
yeah, that's fine.
In general, you're fine with that?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to have 2,000-yard receivers, all right?
And he's not a big cap charge yet. He's got another year left on his deal. But is it enough to say, hey, this is your chance to tell us why we shouldn't pick a receiver in the first three rounds?
Well, let's see what Mingo's like this year. If he's
investment there. You essentially used a fourth round pick on Mingo. You just drafted him with your fourth round pick.
Yeah, you did. I would still consider using a pick on a receiver the first three rounds.
Next up, Mazi Smith. Is Mazi Smith playing for his job the rest of the way?
Oh God, yes.
Taco Charlton was cut after his second season. I think Tristan Hill was cut after his second season. So right now, Mazi has played out similarly to those two. I did not realize that. Did you know Tristan Hill got into his fourth year with Dallas?
Oh, God.
How'd that even happen?
Here
were Tristan Hill's game totals. Number of games played for the Cowboys. 2019, 7 games. 2020, 5. 2021, 6. 2022, 7. And then he got traded or released in 2022. But Mazi Smith going to be given a longer leash because he's a first round pick, or are we looking at the Taco Charlton situation again where he's a bubble guy in camp next year?
I think that I would not bring him back.
You wouldn't even bring him back as part of your rotation next year.
Just move on. Cut your losses.
Which is something that's more concerning to you when you see somebody who technically doesn't look like they're putting it together, or somebody like Mazi where it feels like their head might be broken?
I don't know. That's not a position where it's a mental position, right?
I think every position's a mental position when you're hanging your head, and he hangs his head a lot.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think it is, but maybe.
So, is there anything he can do to reverse things for you over the final stretch of games?
Sure. Play well.
How well does he have to play? Does it have to be dominant, or can it just be give me league average play at defensive tackle?
Play as well as the guys that left in the offseason.
Okay, that's fair. 469. Rico is a scammer. He's injured every year except his last year when he's trying to get a new contract. Hell no, let him go. I don't think Rico Dowdle has been faking injury. I think Rico Dowdle has wanted his opportunities for sure. Another 469, Mozzie was a terrible pick. We need to stop using these first-round picks on projects, guys, that are so ridiculously raw there's barely even a hope they will work out. We're doing hot seat rankings here for the Dallas Cowboys players the rest of the way. Terrence Steele, how hot is his seat over these final nine games at right tackle?
In what you've evaluated, how would you grade him?
Better than last year, not as good as he was before the injury, which is average to at times a little below.
Does he look like the injury you could tell is absolutely impacted?
I don't know if the injury has impacted him. It might just be coincidental timing, but if you look at that as the line, the timeline marker, then it's been different since then. I think last year it impacted him. This year, I don't know what's going on. This past game, he played well. So hopefully he's rebounded. Mm-hmm. But Terrence Steele, especially if Tyler Guyton's struggling at left tackle and feels more comfortable at right, and you just say, well, we can move Tyler Guyton to right tackle and we can kick Tyler Smith out to left. Is Terrence Steele's job on the line down the stretch, Chop?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's too important of a position to, you know, go with somebody that you can't trust. Your quarterback is getting older. You don't want him hurt. He doesn't move as well. That's okay. It happens. They're going to – look, they might – would you consider them moving Guyton to the right side next year? And
yeah.
If they get a left tackle that's on their board that's there?
Sure. Yeah, or if you like a guard – move Tyler Smith out to left tackle and Guyton to right if Guyton's more comfortable there.
Absolutely.
I know they think he does. They think Guyton does have the footwork to be able to do left side. It's just, it's got to come around. He's been a defensive tackle for a lot of his career. He switched over to offensive line in the last few years. There's some rawness there. And then, fifth name here, Chop. A guy that I feel like we're always waiting for him to break out. It feels like we like him, but it's like, when's the next step? And with all the investments you have to make, Osa Odighizuwa, who is an impending free agent, is that somebody whose job is on the line, or is that somebody that you're just kind of thinking, that's a guy. I can get that guy anywhere, and I got other things I got to spend money on. I can't be devoting money to a Tyrone Crawford.
That's a guy that... Boy, shots fired Tyrone Crawford.
You know what I'm saying? I like Tyrone Crawford, but you know what I'm saying? The Cowboys wouldn't have done the Tyrone Crawford deal over again.
Again, right. Yeah. That's a guy that, and this is a perfect example of what the Cowboys, how the Cowboys may do things differently than other organizations. I think a lot of other organizations might say, you know what, we can find that dude. He's a good player, but you have to be in the NFL. You have to be willing to walk away from quality players.
And he's a good player.
And he's a very good.
It feels like we've been waiting for him to take another step that he hasn't taken the last couple years.
You've got to be willing to walk away from good players with your window open and replace them and put faith in your drafting and your player development. You got to be able to do that. You have to be willing to do that. Otherwise, you'll never manage the cap. So I'd be okay with him leaving.
Look, and when we're looking at these hot seat rankings and we're talking about getting the most out of players, a guy who's gotten the most out of his players this year is Brian Flores in Minnesota. He's done a great job. That's somebody who a lot of people are really high on.
Yeah.
Would like to see him get another shot here in the NFL.
I thought you meant here.
Or here as a head coach. And you know what? Dallas is potentially going to have a job opening. We played earlier today the political attack ad from Bill Belichick on Ben Johnson. We had the political attack ad from Mike McCarthy on Bill Belichick. There was another one that was out this
week.
For the growing sentiment for Brian Flores to get another crack. There was some pushback against the idea of Brian Flores potentially being the head coach here in Dallas.
Brian Flores doesn't want you to remember how things ended in Miami. Luckily, that's one of the few things Tua Tagovailoa does remember.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right.
It doesn't matter that Flores' evaluation of Tua was correct.
Sometimes I draw back and sometimes I just practice backflipping and throwing, you know?
What matters is one question. Does Brian Flores have the temperament to deal with Mike Leslie? Vote no on Brian Flores and no on controversy. Paid for by John Gruden's campaign to get back in the NFL.
So, look, a lot of powerful money doesn't want Brian Flores to get the job here in Dallas.
Well, these are great. These are great. We need to do this for every election cycle. We got to do this. All right, there's a little bit of B-Low.
B-Belt.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Did the Rangers find their next manager?
What?
And a little bit of Nathan Eovaldi news coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan in the 9 o'clock hour on Sean and RJ.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.